Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Gimp, no gimp, words. I'm go a gimp, unspoken. I'm coming to your house because I'm a gimp. I'm going to let you do whatever you want to me because I'm a gimp.
Yes, hello and welcome to Doing the Think Tank, the show where we come up with five sketch ideas. I'm Andy.
And I refuse to give away the information on who I am.
Yeah. Yeah, nice try, scammer.
Yeah, I think privacy is too important.
I actually went to the births, deaths, and marriages department, and I changed my name legally to Nice Try Scammer, and I've had my identity stolen several times since then.
Really? Because they often put in nice.
Well, nice, you know, I think a lot of the time someone will try and find somebody's identity, their name, and they'll respond to them with nice try scammer, right? I guess in my scenario, the scammers themselves are so stupid that they assume that that is their real name, which for me, it is. So they then go ahead and use that name and, I get my identity stolen. I suppose
they just read it as Nisei Tree
Skamer. Yeah.
Skamer. It's a European name.
Yeah, exactly. And
Nisei.
And yeah, so anyway.
Actually, Nisei is a nice name.
It is a nice niece. Nice name for your niece. Yeah. That's right. You know how.
If you could name a niece, what would you call your niece?
That's a great idea. You should get to name, you know, you shouldn't get to name your own kids, but you should get to name one set of kids. It's like that changing room show where your friends would redecorate your house, okay? Yeah. But it's changing
names.
They
re-raise your kids.
So, hang on, they raise your kids. And they get to rename them.
They re-raise them. They re-educate your kids.
Wow. Yeah. Interesting. From baby, sort of almost from babies, like they put your kids, whatever age they are, back in nappies, breastfeed them for a while.
Or you put them through a re-education camp of some sort. You know, maybe they could put them through a rebirthing like ceremony.
I think that would be a nice way to start the episode. Yeah, an elaborate. I mean,
like a vulva vagina slide.
Sure, yeah.
Because kids love slides, and then they love the idea of going through something.
Yeah, but like, now that I'm thinking about it, I'm wondering like, does it need to be kids, or could it be anybody? You know, could you parent your own friends or your own parents? You know, is there some way that you could?
Yeah.
You know, swap sure. it in that way. Would that be more interesting? Like, you know, for example, Alistair, if I parented you, okay?
Yeah.
And, you know, my wife simulates giving birth to you and you emerge squirming and covered in muck, right? I mean, that's the way you normally emerge. But this time, it's in a baby context.
Depends what part of the day you catch me.
Yeah,
in.
Yeah. And I do have to catch you as well. Because
which is harder when I'm covered in muck.
Exactly. But, you know, and then we go through it and I do, you know, you do act like a baby. I mean, what do we get out of this though, except for, you know, some fetish for people on the internet? Like, yeah, I guess when you're an adult there's less chance if you actually unless we can somehow medically induce amnesia, right? So give you some kind of drug that really does return you to a childlike state, even if only temporarily. and I can genuinely baby you.
I think maybe getting struck by lightning can sometimes wipe your memory.
Great. Okay, sometimes. That's good enough.
Yeah.
At the start of the episode, you know, strike 10 of my good friends. I don't have 10 good friends. But, you know, we strike 10 of my good friends with lightning. And whichever ones have their memory erased, they're the ones that I have to raise from a
They qualify.
Yeah.
That's part of the application the process selection. For being on the reality
the
show.
The audition is...
It's a group audition, and then they zap everybody with lightning. Mm. Whoever's memory is wiped and has no idea who they are, they get to be on the show.
Yeah, exactly.
And of course, at this point, they don't remember why they're here. And
no, but they signed the things beforehand, so it's okay.
Exactly.
It's all nice and legal. Yeah, that's the way we like it here.
Okay. And so what are we trying to prove with this show? Like, what are we trying to
It's a really good question. And
but it's like changing rooms. You come back. And so it's like it could be, you know, it could be let's say two wives. It could like one episode could be like, you know, two wives.
Yep.
Swap husbands and see if they can re-educate each other's husbands to be better husbands.
But are they raising them from a baby, right? Because otherwise it's just like,
well, they're
wife
raising
swap.
Them from a baby.
But
they're really it's still the lightning thing. I'm not giving up on the lightning.
Great.
They're just like, I think you gotta break people down and then rebuild them,
build them back up. And I guess what we see, you know, at the end, you know, they get their memory back, right? They realize who they are. I mean, there's probably a few gaps, but that's fine. You know, that's the price of good television. And then they go back to their normal lives, and then we see how they've changed, right? And we see, you know, whether this second childhood that they had has improved them in any way. And then I guess what we do is we bring in their actual mum and dad, and depending on whether or not they've improved as a person, we shame them on the show.
See how easy it was? We did it over, you know, we did it with a team of you know, so I guess tradies.
Exactly.
And over a week, over an afternoon.
Yeah. And then I guess you sit down, the person who's regained their memory now thinks that they're an adult. Probably doesn't remember anything directly from the parenting experience from when they were pretending to be a baby or like thought they were a baby. But you show them Taskmaster style, some clips of themselves sort of squirming around and getting their nappy changed and that kind of thing, getting breastfed.
Yeah, you get the important, you know, you hit the important points during the afternoon.
Yeah.
Crawling, relearning to walk.
Oh, first steps. That'd be really beautiful.
Yeah. You know, some class type stuff, some, you know, learning a few fundamentals. You know, be nice, don't hit.
Object.
Because I guess a lot of them would just start hitting.
Peekaboo. Yeah. Yeah. And that would be really, that would be really awful.
And then there's and then there'll be the big reveal at the end where you reveal them in a nice outfit.
Yeah.
And,
great.
You know, and you see whether from their eyes and the way they hold their face, whether or not the education was successful. You know, because I think if they've kind of got a crazed or like confused look on their face, they're not quite. If they look more confused than they were earlier, I think you would deem it a failure.
Yeah, and that's what we do at the end of each episode. We either deem it a success or deem it a failure. And a big stamp comes down on the screen. I think it's. I think it's nice.
The thing is that maybe. It's kind of a little bit of like be careful what you wish for type situations
as well,
because there's probably like, you know, the wife who is talking to the other wife and telling them kind of what they would love to get in order to,
you know,
for their husband to be improved. They say, I would love it if they just did the dishes a bit more.
Mm. Yep.
Right. And so a lot of the education will just be dish based.
Yeah.
You know, because in the afternoon, you've only got so much that you can fit in, right? Stop hitting, like don't hit, walking, and probably just, you know, an hour or two
of dish
of sort
time.
Of scheduling and dish time, you know? And so then they could be great at dishes. So he walks out in a bow tie and suit, slightly confused looking, yeah. But then they still, walk still over to
like sort of cruising. He's not quite walking by himself. He's sort of holding on to things a little bit to get around. Sidling along the edge of a coffee table.
And then you see them go to the sink and you see them wash a dish and things like that. And everybody, all their friends and family applaud.
Yeah, great. But then in other ways, they've regressed slightly. But the dish thing is great. And then we catch up with the relationship 6 months down the track and see how it's going. And yeah, they're always divorced every single time.
Oh, yeah. But the man is just doing dishes nonstop.
Exactly.
Drying things, putting them back away, and then just go opening up another cupboard and just doing all those dishes again. Just redoing them.
Yeah, frantic. Frantic in the middle of the night. Smashing and crashing. Yeah. Glorious. Alistair. I went to a cafe with the kids yesterday. I'm sorry to bring this up because I know you're in deep lockdown and you're not allowed to, but I took the
Andy's lockdown was lifted. So Andy technically could do 300th episode now.
Yeah, by myself. I could meet up with myself in a room and do it to get that in the room vibe that we were looking for. But you wouldn't be there. It was called Chaplin's, right? This restaurant or cafe that we went to. And it was a Charlie Chaplin themed restaurant.
Your life has become so luxurious.
Yeah.
Going to movie themed restaurants. We're on 400 and something cases a day here in the city.
Yep. But up on the wall they had a poster that was a picture of like Charlie Chaplin and Hitler standing next to each other, right? Must have been a promotional poster from like a documentary about the connections between them or something. I don't know. Anyway, it was Hitler and Chaplin standing next to each other. And Finn, my son Finn, asked who the clown was. And I said, that was bloody Hitler, all right? No, I said that was Charlie Chaplin. He was a famous clown. And then he said, who's the other man next to him who looks so angry? So my question to you, Alistair, is how would you explain Hitler to a four-year-old?
I think, didn't your parents already explain the Hitler to your children?
Yes, they did. They did, yes. And that's what I relied on, actually, that my parents brought it up.
Well, I think you'll remember there's the bad man.
Yeah, the bad leader, they called him. Yeah.
Yeah, the bad leader, that's right. The bad leader. It was his leadership skills that were terrible.
Mm.
I think I've occasionally attempted, I bring up Hitler. I mean, recently, this is so odd. I can't remember how it came up, but I've been showing my child the genitals of animals. After that, it becomes easier to explain Hitler. I'm just easing my way in. How to explain Hitler?
Did your child express an interest? Is that how this?
Yeah, look, it might have actually come from me at first. So I think don't know if I'm making good choices. I think.
Well, it gets difficult to entertain kids this deep into a lockdown.
Yeah, you gotta go deep. And so,
where do you go?
But you go to the interesting ones. You go to the sort of the corkscrew ducks.
Do you think that if we were to send, redo that plate, that golden disc that we sent out on the Voyager spacecraft for aliens to contact, but entirely genital based, right? To let them know about all the genitals here on Earth. What five sets of genitals would you include on that golden disc?
Yeah. I suppose you duck, echidna.
Mm.
You'd probably need an insect adatus or whatever they're called.
Sure, sure. I mean, flea, I think the flea's penis is like 40 times the length of its body and is all curled up. inside it.
Really? I thought I'd heard that the barnacle has the largest penis to body ratio, I think.
That also could be true. Yeah.
I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, but, no, I think you're probably right. I have heard good things about the barnacle.
Now, I guess, is there a sketch in the idea of explaining Hitler to children?
Well, I was wondering if there was a sketch in a sort of a drunk history style show, but it's
for children.
It's toddler. Yeah, exactly. It's toddler history, and you know we make a toddler. Oh God, watch like 4 hours or 8 hours of World War II documentaries, and then we get them to explain it. And then we have it acted out by adults. What do you think?
Okay, yeah. I think that's interesting.
I think, you know, it's obviously it's an awful idea, right? And you know, the comedy, I guess, comes from the awfulness of the idea. If you wanted to make this a genuine show, you just wouldn't have them explain horrific world history events. You'd have them explain sort of more interesting things like the building of the pyramids or something like that.
Yeah, but I think if you could just tell them a story about it and then you just get them to retell it. I think already you've got the filter that you're looking for. But if it could be horrific events, I think you're going to get more interesting stuff out of it.
Bit of edge. Yeah.
A little bit of edge out of there.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, I guess you could do that. You could do sort of toddler science as well. You could explain how reproduction works to toddlers.
It sounds like you're already doing that.
Yeah. Well,
your child is a toddler.
No. Well, you know. Yeah. They're a kid now, but. Yeah. Look. I mean. Yeah. I don't know what I'm doing. Okay. So look. What am I writing down here?
You know, it's sort of, I guess it's like a red cordial version of drunk history.
So toddler drunk history.
Yeah. You know, obviously there'd be a few waivers or whatever that you got to sign before you make the kid watch all the genocide documentaries. But that's
sure.
People want their kids to be on TV. So I think we'll be fine.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll have any problems.
That's true. Okay, yeah. And, you know, it's good for their reel.
Exactly.
You know, to have all that footage of them describing mass murder and things like that.
It also made me think the Hitler-Charlie Chaplin comparison, because there's like, you know, obviously, like, I've heard that Chaplin based his moustache, that Hitler based his moustache on Charlie Chaplin. I don't know if that's true. But I think it would be great if we discovered that all world dictators were based on different clowns, and we could somehow explore that in a documentary form. You know, who is the corresponding clown to each? You know, like a particle and an antiparticle. Which clown corresponds to which, you know, Pol Pot and Idi Amin. And
that's really interesting that you should, because Otis asks often, what's the opposite of something like, you know, the last, like, what's the opposite of wind? And then I go, oh, wow.
oh, no.
You know, and then so, I mean, the opposite of a dictator being a clown is quite an interesting flip. I do like that. So who, what would you say? Saddam. There was kind of just I feel like a cop based Iraqi clown, like, you know, comedy performer would work, you know, like somebody who's like, you know, sort of a, you know, is supposed to make fun of the, oh my God, my baby has come in.
Your baby has come in by itself?
Into the. I'm not sure how it opened the door. Maybe I didn't close the door properly. No, he's very upset that he couldn't be in here.
Sorry,
you know,
baby.
Like, no, it's sorry, baby. Sorry, you know, like a, you know, it's like a clown who makes fun of, you know, who's like, you know, parodies the, you know, the corruption in police and things like that. And it's just supposed to, it's like, you know, it's like Bad Lieutenant kind of scenario, but a but comedy.
Yeah.
Right. And that Saddam really liked, it's like Tom Selleck type mustache and, you know, how brutal he was as a, you know, character. But then he just imposed those things himself.
Yeah. It's possible. But, you know, I suppose in my mind it was like existing. We find parallels between between existing clowns and world dictators rather than having to make them up. But, I mean, it's pretty hard to do either way. And maybe
So you just actually wanted to make a documentary.
I think that's what I wanted, yeah. No, but
to make a documentary based on a theory that has only one data point, based on a trend that has one data point.
Exactly. Yes, Alistair. It's not that fucking hard to understand. It's an extrapolation. Yeah,
I know, I was just trying to make it clear.
Part of me did wonder, you know, because I think there are some ways in which extreme politicians can sort of co-opt the idea of ridiculousness and mockability. And I'm not sure whether they're doing it consciously, but like you look at someone like Donald Trump and you look at his appearance and his certain choices that he made and the way he presents himself, and you see how like so much of it is so easily mockable, right? That you wonder if there's some sort of other level on which this is working, whereby making themselves appear so mockable, and like by Hitler having a Chaplin moustache, confer some benefit on them, where it disguises other things about them, you know, that ridiculousness.
I think if Trump wasn't so funny and ridiculous, he wouldn't have got all that media attention.
Yeah.
And so he wouldn't have been as well known during those primaries.
Yeah.
And got as much media coverage. And then he may not have... because it's like, it's quite funny because then it's like harnessing people ridiculing you, but then also harnessing love. Like people loving their country and saying that you're there, you know, like that you love these people who love their country,
yeah,
and using that as a way of potentially doing some bad stuff.
Yeah, I mean the way that Donald Trump talked about love is really interesting and weird, and not the way you would like, not like an alpha male kind of approach to it as well. It was a strange the way he co-opted love language. But I just wonder how ridiculous you could, you know, if that is a real phenomenon, the ridiculousness idea. And I wonder if we could invent a dictator who you know, just takes it to the next level and is so easily mockable. And they do, you know, part of their thing is that their pants do fall down all the time and you see their bottom, right, while they're doing debates and that sort of thing. And the left, we make fun of that and... thereby amplify
Boris.
Their message and also appear like we're not taking seriously the issues that they are raising. And so
I guess Boris is one of the closest. It's like the closer to clown you become.
Yeah.
The more lovable and you can the more you can get out of stuff.
Yeah. Well, I think there's a sketch in us creating a character who's even, you know, yeah, who's just taking that to the next level of, you know, shitting themselves in public and, shitting themselves, wetting themselves, you know.
So wait, their pants fall down and then they shit themselves. Who would have thought that it could get worse?
Well, what would you rather? Would you rather shit yourself and then your pants fall down, or your pants fall down and then you shit yourself, Alistair?
I think that's a great upping of the stakes is when your pants fall down and then you shit yourself.
But I guess you know, you still have a chance of getting out of it clean if that happens. You know, if you shit your pants, the mess is going to spread around the butt area.
I don't think there's a chance of you getting out of it clean. Because the pants didn't just fall down. Like, they don't just fall right off your feet. They're still in between your legs, and then you're having to mess with that. And
no, that's what I'm saying. I think that if your pants fall down first... Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying. Okay, yep. Yeah, okay. Well, I just wonder if you could... If your pants fall down and if you shit hard enough and get a little bit of sort of projection, right? Yeah. So the shit shoots out. But then if it's also you're lucky enough for it to be a clean shit, but that's never happening in a situation where you shit yourself. You never shit yourself and it's a nice clean break. If you're shitting yourself, it's already a sloppy spray scenario.
It's a dangerously nervous poo.
Yeah. And I don't think, I guess if you're standing, the chances of the cheeks being spread in the way that you need them to be to avoid side contact are pretty low. I mean, if you could pull it off, I think that would be pretty cool. And well, I think your supporters would give you credit for that.
I don't think people are going to be like, I mean, yeah, the supporters would be like, so that's how they'll defend them? They'll be like, he didn't get any shit on his ass. It's actually, what they did is actually incredibly impressive.
It's a power move.
You go, the guy's pants fell down and then he shat himself. You go, no, what I saw was a feat of masterful toilet going and efficient use of time.
And what I hear is that you're not engaging with the issues. You're scared to engage with the
issues.
When
you're the leader of
a
country. Yeah, when you're the leader of the country, you don't have time to just go to the toilet all the time.
Oh, that would be a great because I think one of the things Donald Trump said was that he wouldn't be golfing as much as Barack Obama. But when I run for president, what I'm going to say is I'm not even going to go to the toilet. I'll wear nappies and I'll shit my pants because I don't want to take time away from running the country and making a better America for all Americans, for true Americans and patriots. That's going to be on all of my posters.
I won't go to the toilet. I think that's a good idea. So that's the dictator clown, which is slightly different from the clown dictator connection mockumentary.
Exactly. And also
/ documentary.
My merchandise is going to be
mockumentary.
How do you pronounce that? MAGA. Is that MAGA?
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 MAGA nappies. Diapers. We're gonna sell those for our supporters who are with me on working 24 hours a day to make a better America.
Yeah, that sounds nice.
Thanks.
That sounds nice. My kid Otis said something yesterday which I felt was very creative. We were playing something, and I don't know exactly how it came up, but I think maybe we were both spirits, and one of us was a wind spirit, and the other one was a fire spirit.
The opposite of wind.
We were fighting the water spirit.
Yes.
And then I think Otis said something to the effect of, "No, that's not water. Somebody just painted the fire."
Wow.
And the idea that you could disguise fire as water by painting it, I thought.
Yeah. I don't know. Just absolutely. Or just the idea that we could invent a new kind of wet fire would also be pretty good.
It's wet because it's got paint on it, not dry paint.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
cool.
I think a good product to sell would be colored air, right? A new kind of aesthetic kind of thing that people would be really into would be if you...
So that rooms can have like a hue.
Yeah, exactly. And, it would just be like some little particles that you put into the atmosphere, right? And yeah. You, yeah, this is the blue room and has blue air in it. And you know what? No studies have yet found that this product causes cancer. There are no confirmed links.
Yeah.
And no reputable studies.
All you need is like one thing to be added to that air. Like, you know, you could say, oh, we've added magnesium or something to the air. And then, because all you need is like one thing that says like lungs need magnesium or something like that.
Great.
Something, magnesium is important for lung health like that. And you go, well, it gives much needed magnesium for your lungs.
Yeah.
And then you're like, well, it seems crazy not to be constantly breathing in blue.
At the moment, we don't do anything with the air, right? I mean, sometimes we have a smoke machine at a disco or something like that. But other than that, we leave the air more or less untouched. And if you're not designing with the air in your house, if you're not doing anything with the air in your house, then you're missing out on a really, you know, on a huge range of potential, you know, aesthetic experience. So...
Can you do an ad for the colored air thing for me right now?
Right now. Look around you. What do you see? Nothing. And if you're seeing nothing, that means that you're doing nothing. You're not making a choice. You're happy to sit there and have the air be the color that everybody else's air is. Well... Now this is shit. Sorry, Alistair.
It's okay. I think you're making some good decisions there. I think it's just something Otis started asking me to do. You go, can you do an ad for this? And so I go, hey, do you love air? Yeah, me too. The problem is, though, that I never see it. Gosh, I hate not seeing the things that I love. Well... That problem no longer exists in my life because I color my air with the new air colorer by Martson and Slock. And you know what? I get to decide every day what color the air in my house is. Red, blue, gold.
Brown,
You can just have brown, black. You can even get air that just sparkles, right? I mean... Do you hate mess? I hate mess. The trouble with having clear air is that you can always see the mess.
Sure.
But when your air is a thick green color and you can barely see the hands in front of your face, the stress just melts away.
I think a new kind of black air would... And I'm not talking about smoke. I'm talking about black air. Would be black a really air. Interesting, like, you know, that you could black out the light in your room with black air. It's exciting.
Yeah, but it's not darkness. It's black air.
Yeah.
The light is on.
The light is on.
This is the problem with darkness is that it's actually, you're not seeing the black. You're just not seeing the light.
Exactly.
But... With black air, you actually get to see the black.
See the black with black air. This could really be good for global warming as well. If we can invent a new kind of black air, we could use that to block out the sun. That'd be great. And remember, no significant number, statistically significant number of reputable studies have linked this to cancer. So we're fine.
Just mentioning it.
That's our slogan. Mentioning it. That's
our slogan. No significant studies have ever linked this with cancer. Now, that was our study. That was our slogan for the first 10 years.
Yeah. And then we changed the slogan. That's a worry.
Yeah, we had to change the slogan.
You've got to watch for when the slogan changes.
And then eventually the slogan... just changed to how cool is colored air.
Don't Google it.
Look, I think that's where the joke is for this thing.
Okay, great. Yeah, I'm really excited.
It's in the slogan change. So,
I
no studies have linked our colored air with with causing cancer was the slogan of Colored Air Incorporated for the first 10 years of their running life.
It's got to be big.
Yeah. Mm. I would love to ride a beast.
Yeah, sure.
Like, what of the beasts that are around in the world that are not typically ridden by people?
I think rhinoceros.
Would you?
I think rhinoceros. I think there'd be a real, like, when they're really charging, there'd be an incredible feeling of power and just that of unstoppability.
I mean, I did see one get bullied by an elephant recently. And
really?
I was like, oh. Yeah.
Yeah. Getting pushed around. Was it a full-grown one?
It seemed like it had a child, which it accidentally sort of tripped over while it was trying to escape from this elephant.
Right. And then the rhino went back to try and protect the child, and then the elephant was... Yeah, right.
Yeah, I think, So, I mean... with a rhino, does it kind of has a high back relative to its head, right?
Yes.
Because I think where you'd want to sit is on the neck.
On the neck? Or I mean, on the face, sort of, with you holding onto that horn.
Yeah, right? Really? Like in between the two horns?
Yeah. I mean, that's practically a saddle.
It's true. But then that having that small horn behind your ass... just doesn't feel like it's going to lead to good things, especially while that charging is happening and you're bouncing up and down.
You're bouncing up and down. You're holding onto that horn, but I mean, being right at the front while that thing is going along, and you're right there. That's living. You know, that's as close as you can living, get to falling horizontally, I would say.
You think so?
Yeah. Plummeting across. Yeah. I was thinking...
I wonder what happens to people who get shot out of one of those people cannons, but straight. Like, instead of up, straight up.
Yeah.
I guess you would just... Or it's head first, so I guess you would just...
shot into the ground.
Yeah. But, yeah, that would be... I could see how that would go. I guess that wouldn't be that different from being shot up into the air and then not landing on a net.
Sure. Suppose so. But, yeah, being shot horizontally, you're right, and then sort of bouncing and skidding along the ground, be really interesting.
Yeah, you'd have to try to turn it into a roll.
that's your
way
out. But
there's a chance you would just slide and lose all your skin.
Mm. Yeah, there is. There is a good chance, I'd say.
I mean, I think that there are. I think people do ride yaks.
Mm. Okay. Yeah,
I think there's a UFC fighter, and he's from Brazil or some South American country where it's a tradition. I think it's like part of their culture to ride yaks and farm with their yaks, and I think he keeps that alive.
Don't think they have yaks in Brazil.
Well, it's a yak-like beast.
I don't think I don't think they have any big hooved creatures down there in Brazil.
Right?
Not
like South America.
I mean, I think their biggest thing was the alpaca, wasn't it, or the llama? I could be wrong.
I mean,
why am I going out on this particular limb? I mean, they would have brought them in since then, sure, but like historically, if this is like,
I've seen this footage only in the last year or so, so. And I assume it was filmed, you know, within the last 100 years.
Do you know the guy's name?
It's like Figueiro. Let's see. Riding yak. I'll just try that.
Great.
Figueroa? No.
No, I'm not interested in Figueroa riding a yak.
No, okay.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is really not coming up.
This is good. This is good, Alistair. This is good content, and I am bearing full responsibility for this and where we're at. But I think the listeners, they're fine with it. They're happy to wait. They've waited so long already.
This is something so they can. Oh, here he is. Okay, wait. Look. Looking at it, it's a buffalo. It's a buffalo.
Okay.
And Davison Figueredo, and it's a buffalo. So it's a pretty big hooved animal.
Mm.
Water buffalo farmer.
Mm. Sure. Okay. And is he good?
Good at riding buffaloes.
Good at
seemed good.
Big, but good at mixed martial arts.
I think so. Yeah. I think he was champion for a bit.
Ever climb up on somebody's back and sort of you see a little bit of the buffalo rider come out in him?
I think that's one of the main things that they do. I think if you can get somebody's back, that's one of the most ideal things, because then they can't really reach you as much with their arms, and then you can get your arm under their chin.
Yeah, and chance that you could get a sort of little yoke on them and sort of like hook them up to a plow or something like that and plow a couple of fields.
Maybe in the female division, you might be able to produce a yoke and then get that on them.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think that...
What is a yoke?
A yoke is that thing definition? That they... It's a little beam that you put across their shoulders and around their neck, and that's what you attach the plow to in, you know, your traditional farming practices.
I think you make your arm the yoke.
Sure. I think it would be a... I mean, it's such an incredible move to pull off in mixed martial arts, you know, not just to get somebody into submission, but then to sort of break them as you would a wild animal and then lash them to some kind of farming equipment and get them to do a bit of work on your field. I think surely that's a higher level of victory.
Well, I mean, if you could get them to work to sort of till the octagon.
Yeah.
You know,
turn it into fertile ground.
Yeah.
It is a little paddock, isn't it? It's got those little fences. It's a little paddock, basically.
It's a little enclosure, and you can do with it what you want. You could turn it into a greenhouse, but you've only got 25 minutes, and so it takes someone with a real green thumb.
Yeah, sure.
And I don't know if you need to, like, you know, shove your thumb in their eyes or something like that, whatever it is that you need. I think eye pokes are actually not okay. They're against the rules.
Yeah, and that's not good. You know, you also have to have the standard sort of RSPCA treatment of livestock kind of standards.
That's true, yeah. I mean, yeah, people, you know, talk about making someone their bitch, but making somebody their cow
is more impressive.
And then... Yeah.
I mean, milking them and make some cheese.
Yeah.
I think it would be great to see these moves play out in a wrestling scenario.
Yeah, and without the team like throwing in the towel, their team throwing in the towel.
Sure.
I think there's a point where you're putting on sort of attaching mechanical milking equipment to your opponent, where I feel like the team would be questioning whether or not they would lose face by pulling their fighter out of there.
Is that something that they consider, losing face and it looking bad? Is that one of the reasons to throw in a towel?
I think it would happen more in boxing that people would throw in the towel, I don't think it happens very much in UFC. So I think I'd heard discussions maybe last year where they're like, oh, this was a scenario where somebody the team should have thrown the towel in or whatever, and they didn't. Usually the ref steps in if the person is you know, not defending themselves anymore and things like that.
Ultimate farming competition.
So
thanks.
But at the beginning of the fight, it was ultimate fighting.
Yeah. Yeah, that's something that the commentators comment
this
on.
This changed the UFC forever, this fight. When somebody realized that you could build farming equipment and tame a person.
Yeah. I mean, it feels close to something that would actually happen in a wrestling, you know, in a WWE or whatever it's called.
Maybe WWF or WWE.
But I think it's funnier if it happens in UFC. I realize bringing in the equipment is a bit unrealistic, but I mean, these guys are so strong. It's a shame not to use that strength for something positive.
Yeah, but they might have strength and engineering skills.
Mm, it's true.
It just depends on where you focus your training. You know, they MacGyver up.
Yeah, there's not a lot of resources in there, though.
I know, but sometimes you can just manipulate your opponent's body into
a plow.
A bucket.
Yeah.
Into a bucket and plow and...
Turned him into a bucket. Yeah, that would be good.
Well, you know, but you turn him into a bucket in which that you milk your opponent and take the pail or bucket back. It's absurd, Andy, I would say. I would say that one is an absurd one.
I'll take it, though. Alistair, how are we going? Sketch number one, two, three, four, five, six.
Oh, yeah, we got six, Andy. Well, then it takes us to three words from a listener. Now, I don't know if you know this. We have listeners. Some of them can send in three words if they support us on Patreon for the $3 category. And today's supporter and listener is Dominic Stevenson.
Hello, Dominic Stevenson.
Dominic, thank you very much for sending in these three words. Andy, do you...
Dominic Stevenson. I mean, that's such a reputable name, isn't it? Dominic Stevenson. I would invest heavily with Dominic Stevenson. If he asked me for $10,000 to start a small business, I'd give it to him no questions asked.
Absolutely. Dominic Stevenson is a magnet for angel investors. absolutely. Probably doesn't have to work a day job.
Yeah.
But I don't know what people are investing in, but I think they're just investing in his net worth. And it seems to be going up just because of all the money that investors are pouring in.
I mean, a pyramid scheme is only a problem when people stop investing. And with Dominic Stevenson, they never do.
This is not, this is not a pyramid. This is a straight up, this is like a skyscraper scheme.
Exactly.
Everybody's just given money. Or maybe that's a circle. Maybe that's a circle if they're coming from all directions rather than... I don't know. A cylinder. Andy, do you want to try and guess what Dominic's three words are?
Yes, I do. Arboreal.
I'm really sorry, Andy. The first word is giant.
Okay. Second word is man-eating with a hyphen.
Starts in the same... Ooh, the first and third letters are right. But then all the others are incorrect.
Damn.
It's mini.
Giant, mini. Last word is medium.
No, Andy, not even close. Not even close in the least.
God damn it.
The last word is toast.
Giant, mini toast. I like that idea. You ever had those mini toasts, those little toasts? They used to be one of my favorite foods.
Really, I think I've always had an aversion to them. I think I must have had them once and then thought I didn't like it. I think they were too crunchy.
Well, when I was working at Salamanca Market, right down in Tasmania, we had friends who ran a mustard stall. They made mustards. They had a business called the Lean-To Kitchen. They made mustards out of their house. And these mustards were so good.
They turned their house into mustards?
That's right. Yeah. And
that's incredible.
They would give away free samples on little mini toasts, right? So you go and try all their different mustards on a little bit of mini toast. And some of those seeded mustards were so good.
Did they make the mini toast themselves?
No, it just came out of a packet. But they were so good. And I probably abused their hospitality, eating their mustards and their mini toasts. But I don't think I've even had one since then. That's one of those things that... like I loved as a kid, and where if I'd got back onto it as an adult, I'm sure I would have bought heaps just to flaunt my freedom to eat exclusively mini toasts.
You know, I think it's a great idea. Did your other siblings get onto that mini toast?
I'm sure they did. Yeah, I don't remember.
I think it would be enough. A good idea to get them something like that for Christmas.
I think that would be great. Yeah, and I'll see if the Lean-To Kitchen, the business has since been sold, but I'll see if they're still, you know, maybe they're available online, and I could. Well,
eventually, you run out of bits of house that you can turn into mustard.
Exactly. There's a limit.
And then you just. Left with the piece of land, and then you can sell that on, I suppose, and then move on to another house and start deconstructing that and using whatever alchemy they devised to turn wood and nails and
ovens exactly. God, that was good mustard.
Into mustard.
The seeds, the way the seed little those little mustard seeds, the way those little mustard seeds pop in your mouth is really special.
Oh, yeah.
This is about those toasts.
You don't need a lot.
God,
of,
they're good.
You don't need a lot of food that is just crackers and mustard, though, do you?
No, but I would have. I would, based on this one. But Alistair,
I know, but you don't.
But I don't. No, I don't. But I would. That's my
point. But who is better if you don't do it and you grew up with it, loving it? Who is going to do it? That's why this is a bad business model.
I'd probably drink a mustard based drink.
You think so?
Yeah, I would.
I guess if you had it in, you know, at the same time as you were having a hot dog based drink.
Mm. Yeah, and I'd drink it out of a little a mini toast cup.
Mini toast cup. Oh, yeah, that'd be great. Is it basically a crouton?
It's a crouton. Yeah, you're exactly right. And I suspect that they'd have to make it soft like bread and then dehydrate it somehow. Maybe
or fry it.
Fry it, bake it. Yeah, probably frying is probably involved.
We are not coming up with a sketch idea.
No,
for this. We're
Alistair.
Just to
no, we're
out
not.
What
but,
mini toast
but,
is
like? But what about like? there's no reason there can't be a product that is just a huge crouton, right? Like a meal sized
loaf of crouton.
A loaf of crouton. Yeah, that you can just chew your way through. It's the best. It's the best bit of any Caesar salad. You know, when you get a nice a crouton that's still got a bit of crunch to it, but has still absorbed some sweet salad dressing, that's perfect. You know, you got some sort of salad dressing squirter in one hand.
Yeah.
You got a meal-sized crouton in the other. You're just spraying it and chewing your way through this thing.
I guess that's Caesar sandwich.
Sure. Is that a thing?
You could make a Caesar, eh?
That must be.
No,
that,
but I mean,
that must
like,
already be a thing.
But I mean, if to both, you know, if, let's say you sort of sliced two large pieces out of a crouton loaf.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
And then you just hand the things there, but
you have a layer of common? You have a layer of chicken, really thin layer of chicken. You have a really thin layer of bacon. So these are things that are in a Caesar salad. You have a thin layer of lettuce,
yeah, chicken, bacon. Yeah, then that Caesar dressing.
Mm. Egg? Is there egg in a Caesar salad?
It doesn't have to be thin. It could be thick. It doesn't have to be thin.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess I want your sandwich to still be workable. You know, you've got to be able to get your mouth around it.
Yeah, but we've had sandwiches that at least have some heft to them, you know?
I think this would actually be a really good sandwich.
Yeah, it would be.
But the rigidity of the crouton could be your undoing.
Sure, but you know you could also make that thickness appropriate so that it was edible.
Yeah, yeah, you absolutely could. I don't think this is a sketch idea, Alistair. This isn't funny in
no,
any way.
No, I know. No, I don't think so either.
Giant mini toasts. I mean, they feel like as close as food gets to a building product. Right, a construction material. They're shaped like little bricks. They're rigid, like a bit of plasterboard or a bit of polystyrene insulation. You know, they're right there on the borderline between food and house building product. And I guess you could build a house, little savory gingerbread house out of croutons with mustard for mortar. a little savory gingerbread house, Alistair, where we make mustard and
the Hansel and Gretel lady. You know, who made the house out of candy.
Yeah.
She must have a savory house somewhere.
Sure.
When she's attracting, you know, like she obviously attracts, you know, children with the house to
Alistair, this is really good.
But what about when she's trying to attract, you know, a man or a partner?
Yeah, this is very us. I mean, this is quite close to our breakfast cereal for middle-aged men sketch, but
I know, but this
I think a this savory is a witch, gingerbread lady. House. Yeah, and you know the curtains are made out of sheets of bacon, and the
I see kind of like, you know, like sort of just pink roast beef, you know, like thinly sliced roast beef that you can open and close the curtain.
Yeah,
I mean actual beef curtains. That's what I was going for.
Is that an expression, beef curtains?
Yeah, forget it. Don't worry about it.
Oh, Alistair,
it's unpleasant, but it's you know, and then this is how whatever it was. She a witch or was she just a lady with a?
She was a witch. House? She was definitely a witch.
She was a witch, but did she make it with magic or did she construct?
Did she build it herself? I'd love to see her out there with a with a little mortarboard and
You know, and because there'd be limits, you know, and then having to hire a person to make all that candy, all that a lot of that stuff is quite like old style.
I think. I think a sketch in which two wives go and abandon their husbands in a forest because they can't afford to look after them anymore. And the husbands wander into the forest. They get lost, trying to follow their trail of mini toasts. And they come across a savory gingerbread house with a witch inside. And they eat all the all the man foods, the jerky weatherboards and the cannelloni banister. Yeah, I think it's great.
Cannelloni balustrade. I love because you were saying man foods and the idea of like this kind of like Italian delicacy is great.
Thanks.
Hello, I'm
cannelloni banister. Sorry?
Balustrade? Is that what you said?
I can't remember which one's which. Which is the one that goes down the side of a set of stairs? A banister or a balustrade? Maybe a balustrade is a part of a castle.
I know a banister is part of a stairs.
There you go.
There could be also a balustrade.
Mm.
But I think cannelloni balustrade is a great name.
Thank you.
But now does this witch, when she attracts men with these things, is she doing it so that she can have sex with them, or is this also to eat them? Is her passion food? I mean, obviously, food and architecture seem to play a big part in her life. But that she obviously must have other needs, and it must be harder to, you know, once you've trapped the men, to just push them into a cauldron as well, or whatever, or into an oven,
sure,
whatever it is. She must have other needs. Do you think?
Yeah. I mean, maybe she's having sex with the men. Yep, could be. Yep.
But then is it sort of like a catch and release sort of scenario, or then does she, or are they keeping them as lovers for life? She have like a harem.
I reckon she has a harem. Exactly, yeah. Right. And you know how Moorish salty snacks are. Well, she has the men hooked on that. You know, they could leave, but true, then they'd have to make their way through the forest. They have so much. They're so frequently eating jerky. You see the agony of those who try to escape. They barely make it 50 meters before they collapse and start crawling back for more salty snacks.
She's just standing at the door holding it open. And you'd come crawling back. They always do. And she's got like fried frog legs in there. And I guess if you live in a magical forest, there's bound to be a lot of frogs.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if the men are addicted to fried frog's legs. That's not the kind of food, right, that we're talking about?
You don't think so? No. I went to a buffet once that had fried frog legs. And
what was it like?
It's just like chicken. Okay. I think it's just like chicken.
Okay.
And the legs looked like frog legs. But, you know, covered in batter or whatever.
Yeah, I bet.
But, like, but they looked like, you know, you go, oh, wow, this is crazy. I don't
bones in them? This. But bones in them?
Bones. Oh, yeah, lots of bones. Little tiny bones.
You eat the bones or you eat around the bones?
You eat around the bones.
Yeah, right. Man.
How many bones do you eat?
Me?
Yeah, how many edible bones that are there?
Not a lot.
It's just the spine of that salmon.
Yeah, but I just thought that frogs, I don't know much about frogs' bones, and I thought maybe they'd be kind of like edible for some reason.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe I guess the bones of a insect or whatever, you might eat them if they're, I mean, they don't really have bones, but
I don't think they have bones.
I think we got to wrap this up, Andy.
All right, it's just when it's getting good. No, but that was something. That was something.
Yeah. Oh, great. Well, we got two. So for two in the Think Tank 304, here are the sketch ideas. We got the husband re-education swap show. That's where if you want one thing changed about your husband, you swap it with another person.
Got to build them down and break them down and build them back up.
They'll break them down. That's the only way to really. It's probably the simplest way to change a habit, a single habit.
Mm.
In one afternoon, anyway. Then we got the toddler drunk history. This is where you teach a toddler about some horrific event of history, and then you get them to retell you, and then we act it out with. We're basically stealing drunk history. Then we got the clown dictator connection mockumentary / documentary.
I think I'm really glad you. Thanks for writing that down, Alistair. Oh, yeah.
It's kind of actually a fake mockumentary.
It's actually a documentary. Yeah.
Yeah, but we're pretending it's a mockumentary.
Yep.
You know, it's fun. Because it was just so hard to actually come up with a real documentary that we decided to make a mockumentary. But then we were like, well, but we're still looking for real examples.
It's a documentary, so but it's filmed mockumentary style.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we got the dictator clown. And this is, you know, we're just finding that we're realizing that the greatest dictators are the clowniest ones. And so we're finding one who is even such a buffoon. Even, you know, people try to tell us these days that you can't make up the kind of stuff of how dumb some of these leaders are.
Well, we're going to.
But we're going to. And it's going to... Oh, they actually... Sacha Baron Cohen did do a show called... A movie called The Dictator. I wonder if it's this.
But we're doing it as a sketch. Stop us. Nobody said this is a movie.
We're not doing a movie, no. Then we've got the ultimate farming competition, a UFC. UFC was changed in one fight when somebody started plowing the octagon, using their opponent as a cow. And then we had the savory gingerbread for Hansel and Gretel, which to attract a harem of men.
Is part of the appeal of the Ultimate Fighting UFC that they did it? They doubled the number of sides on the geometrical shape that they fight in. You know, they went from the square to the octagon.
Yeah, yeah.
If I started a fighting style in a dodecagon, do you think that could be? Take the
yeah,
level.
But then you would have to also blend more sports together.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, I think it's all, obviously it all started with sort of, you know, duels, which were performed in a straight line.
Mm.
And then it went to sort of, you know, boxing, which was in a square. Second dimension, yeah.
Mm.
I guess you could also just make it a flying thing if you could add a third dimension to it.
I mean, when we do get to have zero gravity fighting, that'll be really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if it was an octagon prison, an octagonian prison that was orbiting Earth that you could fly your fighters up to.
Yeah, dodecahedron in space.
Is that what it is? Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Dodecahedron in space. Fight dodecahedron. Mm. Anyway, it's a thought. It's a thought. Yeah. Andy.
Thank you so much for listening to In the Think Tank. That was good that you did that. You know, I think it was okay. On the scale of episodes, I'd put this one at exactly 50%. Halfway.
Wow. Halfway between episodes.
Yep.
Well, you know what? Great work.
You can find me on Twitter.
We made it halfway. We made it.
Yeah.
And I'm at Alistair TB. You can support us on Patreon. You can... It feels like it was such a long time since we did an episode, but it's only been a week. Half of us are unlocked, so, you know, maybe we're getting closer to being able to record this episode, but this 300th episode, but I reckon it's still many weeks away.
It's the sad reality.
Yeah, but thank you very much for listening. Take care of yourselves, and
we love you. We really do.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.